Today is Monday, August 19th? 18th. Right. August 18th, 2014. Okay, we start one time with Amish Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasa. Ah, okay, see you. Okay, we are in lesson 6. Broke off last time. Did we do the hours?
I think we do Ukasam Gamita.
In the grammar?
7.2.
What is that?
7.2.
Sabbe Masarino Loke. We did until that.
No, I'm in the grammar section.
7.2. We did 7.
We did 7.2. Okay, these are just in section 7 here. These are forms of the aorist that occur in the sutta literature. When we studied the Pali Primer, you had just one model for doing the aorist. So you might assume, you might think, this is the aorist, and there's no other aorist. But when you read the suttas, surprise. Or if you look at a real Pali grammar, then you'll see that there are actually 5 or 6 forms of the systems for the aorist. Let me see if I have my Pali grammar here. Okay, this is Duracell's Pali grammar, which you all have.
It's written in 1950.
Yeah, but it's very good.
Yeah.
It's so much easier than the language.
Do you like to share screen so that others?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, I'm going to share the screen with. Yeah, well, he divides the aorist into 3 types. But another grammar that I looked at, I think this was Geiger's Pali grammar, has 5 types of aorist. Okay, so you just have to know how to recognize the aorist. The most common type is the one that's given here under the Upasankami type. That is the aorist that conforms to the standard model that you learned from the Pali Primer. But some of the more common verbs belong to the type to other types of aorist. For example, the aorist of the verb pasati, which means to see, it's based on a different root for to see. It's based on the root das. And so here in 7.1, we have the conjugation of that type You see, a dasang, first person, uddasa, second and third, then plural, uddasama, or uddasamha, second person, uddasata, and third person, uddasung. And then the common verb to go, gachati, we have agamang, agamma, agamama, or I think more commonly, agamamha, then second person, agamatta, and third person, agamung. Okay, so this is just something, you know, you don't have to memorize these models, but just look them over a few times to get familiar with them, and then learn to recognize them when you see them in passages. Okay, now we'll come to section 8. This is a verb, vach. And the book says, this form is defective since it does not have present tense forms in actual use. The present tense forms would be either vatti or vachati, but we don't find those in the text because the verb meaning to speak has been taken over, or that function of meaning to speak has been taken over usually by another verb, which is aha, the long A, H-A, or still another verb, basati. But the root vach is used for past, the passive forms, first the passive forms, so the passive form, which means is called or is said, would be vuchati. Or if it's a plural, then it becomes vuchanti. They are called or they are spoken of. And then we have the past participle, vuta, what was said. And then what's very common is the aorist, which is a vocha when it's singular and when it's plural. These are the third person forms, the vachung. I think the first person would be that's the plural. I think it's a vachi. No, it might be a vacha. Yeah, I think the singular is a vachang. Then a vocha would be second and third person. Then plural would be a vacham ha. Then I think, Wait. First person. Oh, yeah, this is the plural of vachamha. Let's put a marker separation. The second and third persons, I think, are the same, avocha. Then a vachamha. think it would be a fachita or maybe fachata.
It's on page 114, Bhaskara.
Well, they do the full thing. Yeah. Full. Yeah, it's on page 114 of Vatjung. Or a vote soon, actually. Avachuta. Or Avachuta. Seems it's, the system is changing the O to an A. Okay, anyway, let us move on. Okay, now we come to section 9. This is very important. Because in English, we always express, or usually we express sentences in a sort of a very positive, assertive way. Like, I said this. But in Pali, it's very common to express sentences with the same meaning by using a passive form of the sentence. Instead of saying, I said this, this was said by me. Instead of saying, he said this, this was said by him. And so here, the real active subject is actually expressed by the instrumental. So it's the this was said by me. So the one who's doing the action is actually I myself, since I'm speaking. But what is made the subject, the grammatical subject of the sentence, is what was said, and the active subject becomes the expressed in the instrumental case. And then they say the participle agrees in number and gender with the object, which is in the nominative case, and the actual subject occurs in the instrumental case. Okay, and then they say, thus the form is like English, X has been done by Y. And then they give some examples. Okay, so me nimantito. So the meaning is, so is he. Then nimantito means invited, and the person who is in. And so, invited agrees with he. That is, they're both nominative, masculine, singular. So what happened to him? He was invited. And then the actual agent of the action is me, and that is expressed in the instrumental, me, or maya. So, maya nimantito. He, by me, was invited. Another example, here the Buddha is speaking, he says, desito ananda. That's just vocative. Let's just drop ananda. Desito maya dhammo. Okay, so the subject here, the grammatical subject, is Dhammo. And since what happens to Dhamma is that it was taught, so Desito, which means was taught, agrees with Dhammo. And then the actual agent of the action is the speaker, in this case, the Buddha. So this is expressed with the instrumental, Maya. And so we get Desito Maya Dhammo. Ting de dong? Nan dong yi dian. Kasha wo bu zhe dao yong zhong wen. Jie shuo. Jie ge shi, or this point.
For this point, 这个重点, 这个 point.
重点. Can you, do you understand it? And can you re-express it in Chinese?
Yeah, 就是说, 像 Bandai 刚刚举这个例子啊, 他就是说, 在巴利文里面, 常常就是, 我, 比如说, 佛陀, 这句, 他刚刚举的例子就是, 这个佛陀这是玛雅 这个是用的instrumental 就是拜佛陀拜 这个佛陀里面当然是拜密的 这个密是佛陀的意思 那Dhammo呢 是这个subject 就是他的这个教 这个法 那法被教 Desito 是被 past participle 然后就是他就是告诉说 这个法被我教的意思 拜密 taught by me
听不懂
懂
Desito 是被教
对就是法被 因为他这个 past Desito 跟 Dhammo 是在一起嘛 形容这个 去 modify 这个 Dhammo Desito
就是主持受持副持没有他就是他的用法是这样
OK then they continue OK say if there is no direct object expressed the participle will be in the neuter singular. And then they give the example. Now this is the statement that comes at the beginning of any sutta. Evang me sutang. And so the word sutta, there's no other noun that it's qualifying. So actually sutang is originally a past participle, but now is functioning not as an adjective, but as a noun here. So here it means what was heard. So such is what was heard, and then me represents the instrumental, by me. So usually we translate it, thus have I heard, but literally it's thus it was heard, by me. And then they say that note that the participle may also be accompanied by an auxiliary verb like ati. And then they give the example, me mahayanyo pachu patito ati, which would mean literally something like, there is a great sacrifice prepared by me. But I think I would refer hoti, me mahayanyo pachu patito hoti. I think I know the sutta where this comes from, so let me just check. Actually, this one uses a somewhat different form. But it has Brahmanasa Mahayanyo Upakato Hoti. That seems better to me than Ati. No, this is somewhat different. Okay, just let's continue then. Okay, we continue on to section number 10. And this we've come across already several times, I think. This is it's called the correlative pair yena-tena. And this is often used to indicate when somebody approaches another person, when one person goes up to another person, instead of in English, we would say X went to Y or X approached Y. But in Pali, in the old sutta style of Pali, it uses this yena together with tena. So here, for example, we have yena asamo. Asamo is the same thing as in Sanskrit, in Hindi, they call it the ashram, the hermitage. Tain upasankami. So yena is something like where it was, by which way it was, by that way he went. That's what it would be literally. So many suttas open by saying, for example, a certain Brahmin, yena bhagava. In fact, here, we have it right here. We get the whole thing in one. Okay, so yena ambalatika. Yena ambalatika is the name of a place. It's a kind of mango grove. Yena bhagava, where the Blessed One was, tain upasankami, there he approached. But if you translate into English, it sounds weird to say where the Blessed One was, there he went, or there he approached. So in ordinary English, we just say he approached the Blessed One. So you get this in so many suttas. For example, this one too. Attako ugata sariro brahmano yena bhagava tain upasankami. And if it's a group of people or beings that approach the Buddha or approach anyone else, then it would be tain upasankamingsu, the plural. Attako sambahula bhikkhu, so a number of monks, yena bhagava tain upasan kamingsu, where the Blessed One was, there they approached. Okay, then section 11. These are two, I call them stump verbs. The book says that aha which is the singular, and ahu is the plural. And these are, they're called isolated forms, the remnant of a Sanskrit perfect formation that has otherwise virtually disappeared in Pali. Ah, yes, and then the plural sometimes occurs as ahungsu. So either ahu or ahungsu. And so it means aha is somebody said, he said, she said, and ahu is, they say it's originally plural, but sometimes has a singular sense. So it could mean either he said or they said. When we come across this, I'll point it out. Any questions so far? It's pretty dry grammar. Everybody looks like they would prefer to get up and run out of the room. Okay, so let's continue then. Now we come to the hundreds. So the explanation is, one way in which things are enumerated by the hundreds in Pali is for the noun which is counted to be compounded with the word satang, meaning hundred. And then if there are several hundreds, then the number of hundreds comes first, followed by the noun to which is attached the word meaning hundreds in the plural. Let's see. Okay, the number of hundreds is specified by a preceding numeral which agrees in number and case. And even if it's a masculine noun, in this case, in this example, manava, which means young men, for some reason it still comes as a neuter plural. I guess because satta is considered neuter. So it's a set of 100. So here we have 300 youths. So tini, manava, satani. So you see, satani is neuter plural. And so even though manava as an independent noun would be masculine, but when you have 300 of them, maybe 300 young men neutralize each other, and so it becomes neuter. If it was 100, then it would be ekang manava satang. Or if it were instrumental, it would be ekena manava satena. Even though 100 is plural, but 100 sort of functions as a group.
In the second line, so what is that? Pancha Vachatara Satani?
Yeah. Vachatara is a kind of cow. Oh, so this is the animals that he's arranging for the sacrifice. So he has Pancha Usaba. Usaba is like the bull. So 500 bulls have been brought to the pill, this is like a post or a pillar to which they tie them for the sacrifice. Then 500 Vachatara, it's a kind of cow. Bunch of Vachatari, these would be the female counterparts of these must be like young bulls. The Yusuba must be the mature bulls. The Vachatari would be the young cows, the female cows. Then 500 Ajja would be goats. And Uruba would be rams or sheep. Okay, we move on. Then section 13. There are two words which mean other or another. That is the word para and the word anya. They're very similar in meaning. And these are declined like the pronouns, like sabbe. This would be chapter 4, section 8. Let's see that. But actually they say, they refer you to chapter 4, section 8. But that refers you to the pronouns, chapter 2, section 2:11. Chapter 2, section 2:11. Okay, so this starts on page 19. The singular is on page 19. So here we have so. So in the case of para, we would have paro, parang, parasa, parena, paramha, paramhi, or parasmin. But where it becomes somewhat different is with the plural. Instead of, like, for Buddha, the plural would be Buddha. But in the case of the pronouns, the plural is te. And so similarly for para, the plural would be pare. And then genitive dative would be paresung. Instrumental ablative, parehi. Locative, paresu. Neuter would be parani, then the feminine para, or parayo, I guess, also. Parasung, parahi, parasu. So those forms are so rare, one doesn't see them too often.
Could I ask a quick question?
Yeah, please, yeah, yeah.
Sabba, so sabba is all.
Yeah.
But we could also decline it in singular form, like sabbam.
Yeah, yeah. Then it becomes something like it's referring to an entirety of things. Mm-hmm. Usually it would occur as a plural, sabbe, but occasionally one finds, maybe let's say, yeah, yeah. So, yang kinchi, there it's connected with yang kinchi, like whatever. Yang kinchi samudaya dhammang, so whatever has the nature of arising. Sabbang tang, all that has the nature of ceasing. Okay, we go on now to, I think this is a little confusing, number 14. In Lily De Silva's book, we've already come across the word sudding, Sutting is an indeclinable form which is used together with the instrumental to give the sense of together with. So we might say, Bhagava Bhikkhu Sangena Sadding Savating Avasari. So the Buddha, together with, along with the community of monks, arrived at Savati. So that is something you're already familiar with. Now, parivutto is actually a past participle which agrees with its subject, and it has the sense of literally it's like surrounded by or accompanied by. You see, so it says parivutta is actually it's a past participle ending with ta, and thus agrees in gender, number, and case with the person who is accompanied by. So here we have Brahmano in the example. Brahmano Chitari Manavaka Satehi Parivuto. So the Brahman is described as surrounded by, or literally accompanied by, 400 young men. Get a few other examples. Okay, here, if you look on the screen. Okay, here we say, Ataka, so Sumana Rajakumari. This is a princess named Sumana. Panchahi Rata Satehi. Panchahi Rajakumari Satehi Parivutta Yena Bhagavatena Upasankami. So here, the princess named Sumana, accompanied by 500 chariots and 500 other princesses, went to the Blessed One. Yeah, so here it's somebody is addressing, apparently it's a female, maybe a deity, I'm not sure. So it ends in parivutta. So tvang, here, devehi tvang parivutta, you accompanied by deities, then sakata, were honored. I think the cha is, it's cha plus asti.
What did you say, honored?
Yes, sakata means honored.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, giving honor,
okay.
Receiving honor. Yeah, this is the bhikkhuni named Ambali, Ambapali speaking. So it's uses the feminine, because she was a nun. So she says, Parivuta panakotihi pabajing jinasasane. So accompanied by Koti. Koti is 10 million, I think. 10 million beings. I don't know why she uses the word beings here. And pabajing, I went forth, Jina Sasane, in the teaching of the conqueror, the victorious one. Okay, then this is from the part of the Samyutta Nikaya with verses. So, tena kopana samayena. On that occasion, Sukha Bhikkhuni, that's her name, is Sukha, she's a nun. Mahatya Parisaya Parivuta. So, she's accompanied by, then we have the noun Parisa, which means the retinue, a group of followers. And it's a feminine noun, parisa. And so this is instrumental feminine. She's accompanied by a following, a retinue, and is described as large. So it takes the feminine singular form of mahant, which is mahatya. So accompanied by a large retinue. And then she was teaching the Dharma, accompanied by a large retinue. Here's a case where, okay, this is the accusative singular. Okay, so here it's the person described by Parivuta is the object in the accusative. So here we have Adasa, and notice this is Adasa, this is one of these archaic aorist forms, the old aorist forms that we just came across earlier. And this is, you know, a special feature of sutta style to make it a little more elegant or sort of fancy is to put the verb, in this case, at the beginning of the sentence. But the actual subject here is Venerable Ananda, Ayasma Anando. So the Venerable Ananda saw Ayasmantang Udaying. He saw the monk, Venerable Udayi, then he sees him, Mahatya Gihi Parisaya Parivutang Dhammang De Saintang Nisinang. He saw him sitting, you see, that's past participle, sitting. De Saintang, this is actually a present participle, because while he's sitting, he's teaching. So also it's accusative singular, because it's describing, all of these words are describing udaying. He's sitting, teaching the Dharma, And then parivutang, or mahatya gihi parisaya parivutang. So he's accompanied by a large retinue of lay people. So here the subject is Venerable Ananda. So we have the nominative Ayasma Anando. Then the verb Adasa saw, the object Ayasmantang Udaying, accusative singular. Then all of this is describing Udayi, who is first sitting or seated, then he's teaching, then he is accompanied by or surrounded by a large group of lay people. Okay, so that's Sadding and Parivuta. Okay, we go to 15. Just a little way to go. Please be patient. Okay, now we have the forms Tana and Dhamma in compounds. So they say the forms Tanang and Dhamma commonly serve as the second member of compounds with the senses state of, that's for Tanang, and the nature of, that's for Dhamma. So we have an example of a compound with Dhamma. Here we have Viparinama Dhamma, which means having the nature of change. There should actually be a spelling correction here, at least in my edition. You see, Vipari, does your new edition, does it have two P's?
Two P's. Mm-hmm.
It should be one P. I just use your pencil just to block it in my edition. The word Dhamma we get after many other nouns, like we have something might be, you just mentioned it, Samudaya Dhammang, so that which has the nature of arising, Sabbang Tang Nirodha Dhammang, all that has Nirodha Dhammang, the nature of cessation. Elsewhere, living beings are described as Jati Dhamma, Jara Dhamma, Marana Dhamma. They are subject to birth. They have the nature to be born. They have the nature of Jara, to grow old. They have Marana Dhamma. They have the nature of death. Sometimes we could also translate it as subject to. So, I am Jaradhammo, Jaradhammomi, I am subject to grow old. Maranadhammomi, I am subject to death. Okay, then Tana as a suffix, I don't think it's so common, but we have it here in the case of Pamada Tanang. And when Tana gets joined with the short A, the T doubles. So we have Pamada Tanang. which means it could be the condition of heedlessness or the state of heedlessness. Okay, next we come to 16. The locative. Okay, this is the use of the locative. The locative plural of the name of a place or a group of people is commonly used to signify in that place or among those people. So here they give the example, Anguttara Pesu. So this means among the people of, this would be a country or a province named Anguttara, or one often reads of the Buddha going on a tour, Magadesu, among the Magadans, but it could also be rendered going on tour in the Magadan state, or Kosalesu, Charikang Charamano. He is walking on tour among the Kosalans, so it means in the country of Kosala. Okay, and then the last point in the grammar, let's see what it says. When a word ending in a stop consonant plus I is followed closely by a word beginning in a vowel, the consonant doubles and the I is lost. It's pretty abstract, you know, a little bit like an algebraic formula. But they give an example, so we have uppi plus akatcha. And so this turns, what happens, you see the I drops out and the P doubles, so you get uppekacha. Again, I'll just point this out when we come across it. I think the reason why this happens, actually, what they don't explain. You see, uppi plus a vowel, when the I meets the vowel, let me show this. You see, the I is meeting the vowel. So the first mutation that it goes through would be up. See, the Y, the I would turn into a Y. Akacha. But up ye, that's really hard to say. Try it. Up ye kacha. You see, you really get, your mouth gets stuck. Up. Pya, pya. A pie kacha. But it, so to make it easy, the Y, PY turns into PP. So then it's easier to say uppe kacha. You compare the two. Uppe kacha, uppe kacha. Say both of them. Uppe kacha. Uppe kacha. Uppe kacha. Which one is easier?
Uppe kacha.
Which one? This is somewhat like, I mean, it's actually, I think, the same principle when we have iti plus ava. We get each ava. And the reason why we get each ava is first we get the I turning into the Y, ityeva. But it's a bit hard to say ityeva. Ityeva. So it's much easier to say icheva. Ichevang. Ichev. 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 Ichev.
It means like thus indeed.
Yeah. Okay, so any questions on anything so far? Okay, so shall we go to do some readings? The readings at the beginning of the chapter? So that will be on page 77. Yeah, maybe this is a good time for a break, since it's 2 o'clock, a little after 2. So let's take 10-minute break to 2:12.